Welcome to The Contemplative Life. Three pastors, friends, and spiritual companions help us explore spirituality through a contemplative lens.
I'm Christina Roberts.
I'm Chris Roberts.
I'm Christina Kaiser. We're glad you joined us.
Well, hello. It is great to be with you today. Today, we wanted to talk about God's voice versus the inner critic. And how do we acknowledge our inner critic? How do we acknowledge that it's there, but also release it? And how do we embrace the default negative voices, or how do we push those out? And so I think some things that go along with this inner critic, I should statements, or I'm too statements, I'm not enough statements. And so as we think about the inner critic and how the contemplative helps, what are our thoughts on this topic this morning?
Chris, I'm struck by the fact that you're introducing inner critic as God's voice versus the inner critic. I wonder if you want to say more about that.
I think whenever we have what we call decisions to make or discernments, sometimes whenever we submit those things to God, sometimes the inner critic can sort of crowd out God's voice. So, you know, example, if you're wanting to apply for a new job, you submit that to God or the divine, and it looks too good to be true, you know, this job opportunity. And so the inner critic says, well, you don't deserve, you're not smart enough, you're not good enough for this new job. So I think that's what I mean about the inner critic sort of crowding out any divine revelation that we would get about any discernment or decision-making.
Well, I feel like it's such a helpful and needed topic, especially because if you're like me, you're kind of going along in your life, and if someone just said, oh, the inner critic, you might think, what inner critic? I don't know what you're talking about, you know, but then to sit with it for a moment and realize, oh, sure, like what you were just saying, how many times have I had this great idea and I'm so excited about it, and then the closer it gets, I start to have this other voice that comes in, like, why did I ever think this was a good idea? How is this possibly going to work? Like this kind of doubting, unsure, and it kind of can dampen the whole experience, right? Just to kind of move out of that space. So yes, I think what strikes me initially is how I can feel disconnected from that notion of an inner critic until I kind of sit still for a moment and then realize, oh yeah, I see how this pops up in my life.
I think it's interesting to consider the default, I think, a lot of times that the inner critic is. And I was recently listening to someone, and they said, you know, often in the Christian tradition, maybe with Judaism too, we tend to start with Genesis 3, not Genesis 1. So we immediately default to our brokenness, our sin, our fall, our shortcomings, rather than the beginning of the story in Genesis 1. And so even Chris, as you're talking about, you know, God's voice or submitting things to the divine and that inner critic kind of being pitted against each other at times, I do wonder about that default setting that many of us have. And I think he's right that oftentimes the beginning of the story isn't the beginning of the story we tend to really camp out on. And that is part of the story. I don't want to dismiss that, but that's not the beginning of the story.
I appreciate what both of you have lifted up. Yeah. Thank you for the personal story, Christina Kaiser, and what you're bringing up, Christina Roberts, about, you know, the beginning of the story not really being the beginning of the story. And I think something that comes up for me is this idea of life commandments. I read a book in my spiritual direction training called Listening and Caring Skills. And this concept that he presented in this book is we have these life commandments that have been given to us, and often they come in the form of a voice. This voice that says in our head, you know, don't do this, or, you know, you need to put your best face on, you know, before you do anything. Whatever has been passed on to us from a parent, a grandparent, a brother, a sister, usually someone really significant in our lives, somebody having a lot of clout, you know, we tend to hear these voices in our heads as well. And so I think a lot of us have these life commandments that we've adopted. And I think the contemplative can also really help us whenever we hear that inner critic and we sit with, okay, what was really said? What did that inner critic say? Or that life commandment? Okay, what is that life commandment really saying? And I think the contemplative can be so helpful as we think about sort of releasing the inner critic or releasing those life commandments that have been unhealthily passed on to us.
Yeah, and I think that concept of life commandment may be newer. It was newer for me when you told me about it. And I was recently talking to someone and they said, yeah, I think one of my life commandments is cleanliness is next to godliness, and kind of grew up with that idea. And she said, although I like to be clean, it drives me nuts sometimes because there's something so deep ingrained in me and it's never enough. And it's this compellingness towards something, which is different than this, I have a value. I have a value of order and cleanliness and things like that. That commandment is this demanding thing that I think can be skewed in our lives. And so I think it's important. I think what I'm hearing you say, Chris, is even an awareness piece of, gosh, you know, what are my life commandments? I don't know. I've never really thought about it before, but maybe sitting to think through in my day-to-day things, are there these things that come up for me that, again, maybe in a balance could be a good, helpful thing or could be a value, but become skewed into this commandment that then demands, I think, from the inner critic.
I do appreciate that word awareness that you've brought up because of how quickly those historical things happen to us. And I think I also appreciate how you're talking about, is it a value or is it the inner critic, right? Because I've shared with you in the podcast how much I love those lines when you mow the lawn and how much joy that brings me. That is a beauty and it is innate in joy for me. I really enjoy it. But as you're talking, I'm realizing, oh yeah, I just saw marks on my refrigerator this morning and this happened so quickly. I didn't process it until we're just here. But really what goes on in my head is, what would my mother think if she saw those streaks on the fridge? And then, why can't I keep that clean? Why does that always happen like that? And so we have enough of these, and they're not just in cleaning, right? They're in all kinds of things. I have things from when I was in school as an opera singer. Like they're everywhere. Things that we were told as children about what type of person we were supposed to be. Should we be kind of demure and reserved and held back, or should we be forward and assertive? Like, there are ways in which we are all trying to be because of, like you said, Chris, something that somebody brought up, and it's so automatic now.
And Christina, I appreciate you saying too, there's a spiraling effect. You know, it's not just there's streaks on my fridge and I feel bad about that, but then what would my mom think, and how come I have this? And it just keeps going and going. And I think that's indicator of, oop, that's the inner critic speaking. That's definitely not the freedom and the value that's coming forth.
Yeah. I think one of the things that comes up for me as I think about inner critic, is very similar to what you're saying, Christina Kaiser, is this notion of shame being attached to the inner critic. I'm not enough. I don't have what it takes to do this. And so, you know, for example, you know, being a good listener, being able to hear what is underneath. I have a very outgoing personality and I like to tell stories. And, you know, I've really doubted my ability to truly hear people and to listen to people. And so my inner critic, it's not saying you talked over that person. That was a bad thing that you did. It says you are bad for who you are. So my inner critic not only accuses me of and keeps me from engaging in a way that I really want to engage in the world, and I want to hear people's stories, but I'm a storyteller myself, and I get excited, and I think there's a dynamic that happens. And so it's me identifying with who I really am. I am a storyteller, and I can bring that into a conversation, but you know what? I can also listen to somebody else's story and hear the beauty in their own story. And so listening to that critic say, you're bad because you did this. No, that's a learning experience for me. I did talk over that person, but you know what? I'm going to have another opportunity to be a good listener. And so that's how I'm really seeing that the release of that inner critic by saying, no, you know, actually, this is what I am. This is who I really am. And so it's kind of this, you're pitting who you really are against what that inner voice is trying to tell you that you are.
I feel like that resonates so much at this particular season in life. Because I am in training right now to be a spiritual director. And there are these things that you are sometimes told about how to be. And I have often worried that I am not being them enough. And it's funny because my supervisor has, and I think even in peer supervision, it's been the same. If we are not who we are authentically, we won't come across either, right? There is still something about being who you are. And so... And it goes back even to when I was an opera singer. They used to say, like, oh, don't be so expressive with your face because you'll get wrinkles, right? Image was a really big deal. And so you needed to, like, open your eyes, but you weren't supposed to, like, go so far that you would wrinkle your forehead or something. So now I feel very self-conscious about my face. And we spend all this time on Zoom. And so I'm always like connected to what is my face doing and how will people receive my face? You can't focus when you're so concerned about your face. And I've had to be able to become aware of that, become mindful of it, embrace a little bit about who I am. Like I am naturally expressive with my face, that is a normal part of who I am, and when my face is expressive, I am being myself uniquely. So to tamp it down too far would be disingenuous, right? There are moments, of course, right, when I have learned you kind of want to give a minute for a story to unfold before your face does a whole lot, but to find the ability to be who you are authentically, and kind of be aware of when you're trying to tamp it down because somebody else maybe put it in your head.
Yeah, I think as, you know, so I'm an Enneagram 1, and I think often we get labeled, oh, you're the critical, the inner critic tends to be something that people often associate with Enneagram 1s because we like to improve and make things better and champion for the good, et cetera. And so I don't like that. And yet I think because of that, my awareness of the inner critic can tend to be pretty sharp at times. And so it's interesting, not only in my own life, but when I'm sitting with another and they'll say a statement and it's like, bing, 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 that's the inner critic. And when I repeat it back to someone, oftentimes there's laughter and it's like, well, when you say it, it sounds really silly and it's not about silly or whatever, but that's going on inside of you. And let's just expose that for what it is. And I think sometimes even it doesn't have to be a heavy thing. Like sometimes repeating it back and it's like, oh my gosh, that does sound ridiculous. And of course I'm not X, Y, or Z. And so I think even with the inner critic, yes, it can be a heavy thing and in our past, whatever, but sometimes it's just this awareness and you know what? I can laugh at that and realize really, I don't want to keep that. That's not a commandment. That's not a piece of the puzzle that I want to have in my life right now. And so maybe just to maybe bring a little bit of lightness to the inner critic that, yes, it is there. And I think it's important to be aware, but also I think the potential and the opportunity to reframe and to move past that is so great and so transformative.
I really appreciate what you're saying about the lightness. In fact, one of the ways that they say that you can move forward in this, sometimes we need healing from, you know, the inner critic. You know, there's this broken part of us. And they say that laughter is one of the best ways to heal. They say laughter and tears are the two ways that you heal from these hurtful things, these really deep things in our soul and in our psyche. And so I appreciate you naming that laughter can be a way forward for people. As well as tears, but yeah, thank you for bringing that up. Thank you for such a wonderful conversation today. Now is the part of the conversation where we talk about what we are into. What are we into today?
So I recently discovered a store in my town quite by, like, I just needed to find it. My son needed, what are they even called? Hockey goalie gloves of some, no, not hockey, soccer. I am a musician through and through. So he needed goalie gloves for soccer. And we went into the store because it was like, if he could get them and have them for practice that night, that would be best. And it turned out they had all this athletic gear, like clothing. And so he got a wardrobe of things that he can wear to practice. And I just look at him now and I have so much joy. He looks amazing. And I don't know, I'm just in love with that store and what it provided in that moment. So I'm currently into Dunham Sports.
Very fun. Well, I am into, I recently watched a documentary with Michael Pollan called In Defense of Food, and it's dated. It's been around for a while, but I had read some of his books here and there, but it was just I really appreciated the documentary. And one aspect I appreciated was some guy in the Bronx who started teaching high school students that had been kicked out of their high school how to grow food and to cook food. So they had this industrial kitchen where the kids were learning to cook, and then they were like, you know, growing the lettuce and the herbs and whatnot that they were making. And stuff like that just inspires me, where I see people taking it. He took a rooftop and made these like beautiful gardens. And so I just appreciate kind of innovation, fresh food, and then teaching teenagers culinary skills. I'm all about that. So really inspired by that documentary.
Nice. Well, I think this time last year I was into mushrooms, and I find that I'm into mushrooms again. We have a mushroom that is growing in our yard, and I've sent pictures of it to botanists. I've sent pictures of it to, you know, people that are into trees and mushrooms. And this particular mushroom is a conundrum. Like it grows inside the ground, and there's only the top part of it you can see. And it looks mushroom-like, and it is like super dense. It's a super dense mushroom, and you break it open, and then there's like this porous dark gray that almost looks like spores, but it's not. And so we've done all kinds of internet searches. And so I think what's next is somebody from the university might have to show up to my lawn and pick this mushroom to identify it. And if they can't identify it, then we're going to have to send it off to some lab. The only thing that I can find that is close to it is from California. I guess the colloquial term is the California puffball. I'm going to butcher the technical name, but Celeria derma sepia. I hope that we can identify this mushroom because it's driving me crazy and my neighbors crazy, and we need some resolution. Well, thank you for joining us. We look forward to seeing you again next time. Make it a great week.
If you enjoy listening to the podcast, we invite you to stay connected by signing up for our Foundry Spiritual Center newsletter, where you can learn about even more programs and offerings. You'll find a link to subscribe in the show notes, or visit us anytime at foundrysc.com. Thanks again for being with us. We hope you have a great week.